But after the reservoir construction, first by utilizing pumps to draw down the water table, followed by digging along the slip surface of the landslide to provide a network of interconnecting dewatering tunnels, along with gravity drains. Being stabilized for decades, today the landslide creeps only at a fraction of an inch a year. It is not the catastrophic situation the Portland Water Bureau wants us to believe exists. The underground water mitigation programs have worked as they were designed, continuing to impede the soil movement. The soils near Washington Park reservoirs withstood intense rain in the nation from inundation from the 1964 Christmas storm. But more importantly, the state of Oregon recognized the February 1996 once-in-a-lifetime 100-year superstorm event as a milestone, with intense raining lasting for many days, all without landslide issues at Washington Park. The surrounding reservoir soils and landscape survived the ultimate rainfall challenge and remain that way today. As far as the covered reservoir that will be placed in, reservoir 3, the open reservoirs have a long history of protecting us from Columbia South Shore wellfield radon for many years. That protection will go away in a covered reservoir system, exposing children, families, vegetable gardens, microbrew industries to radioactive radon and radioactive decay products from the covered reservoirs. Climate change, as we see coming from NOAA, is forcing us to use and will force us to use more Columbia South Shore wellfield as a secondary source as we have less precipitation in the Northwest. Because LT2 has been defective in its science and methodology, we can keep the open reservoirs. And how will Council justify and explain that you have knowingly and willfully subjected citizens to radioactive radon that EPA confirms is no safe level? We need to stop the Washington Park and Mount Tabor Reservoir open demolition and destruction now, begin an EPA LT2 total system waiver process, and engage with the congressional delegation along with the state of Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, next.
R. D. White, Michael Wallace, and Michael Conley.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Who'd like to go first?
I'll go first. I'm Dee White. I'm at 3836 Southeast 49th Avenue, Portland, Oregon. The zoning code approval criteria on page 6 references the historic resource review section 33.445.330, titled Demolition of Historic Reservoirs, Resources in a Historic District. This reads, demolition of other historic resources within a historic district requires demolition review to ensure their historic value is considered. The review period also ensures that there is an opportunity for the community to fully consider the alternatives to demolition. This opportunity for the community has never taken place. The Water Bureau made the decision to demolish the reservoirs behind closed doors. The public was never given any meaningful opportunity to consider alternatives to demolition. In 2003, the city created the Mount Tabor Independent Review Panel for the purpose of reviewing the options for meeting the LT2 rule and keeping the reservoirs secure. It was created in response to the massive amount of criticism for the lack of public participation in the decision to bury the reservoirs. I attached the majority report from this panel's findings and with my documentation today. Dave Mazza wrote it. It was in the Portland Alliance, and I have attached that for y'all to read again. So essentially, the panel found that the final vote was against burying the reservoirs after this independent review. So essentially, once all the facts were brought to light, much of it by the public, and presented to the independent panel, the panel voted not to move forward with the burial. This, of course, did not please the city and the Water Bureau, and this is exactly what the Water Bureau and the city want to avoid with this proposal now, to demolish the reservoirs at Washington Park. Cover and treat has been, or do nothing, has been pushed aside behind closed doors. The goal of citizen involvement for the demolition decision, including considerations of the alternatives, has not been met. So all this public process that people are, that the BDS and parks are talking about, it's public process for what's going to happen after you demolish. The public process has not taken place to consider the alternatives to this demolition, and that's that is critical. It's the rule. It's the law. It's what y'all make us follow. So the goal, this application for demolition, y'all should reject it until a meaningful public process has taken place, and a good place to start would be to have another independent panel consider all of the alternatives that could delay demolition and finally preserve our historic reservoirs. Congressman Salzman, you've been on the city council for longer than anyone. You've got more standing. You've got more clout. I just implore you to please start another panel so we can consider all of these alternatives.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and council members. My name is Michael Wallace. I live at 3213 Southwest Upper Cascade Drive, which is above the reservoirs. I'm concerned about three issues related to the proposed demolition. First, the chance of a landslide has been overstated, and the quantifiable seismic evidence clearly shows that even in the face of massive rain and snowfall, landslides are not a problem. Second, the current reservoirs, with proper maintenance, can serve Portland residents for at least another 35 years. And third, the increased traffic that will result from the proposed demolition has not been adequately addressed or mitigated. The closure of Sacagawea Circle.
Am I off out of bounds? We can't do the traffic.
Okay, then I thank you very much for hearing.
The reason for that, of course, is that this is essentially backward looking at the historic resource, not ahead at the construction project. I understand people are concerned about that, but that's out of the bounds of this review.
Okay, so,
and there will be another opportunity.
This is a historic review. Whoever said that, this is a historic review, and we've got to stick to the criteria.
Type 3 proceeding that deals with those issues and a chance to be heard.
Thank you.
Or the demolition permit is granted, correct?
Right. Okay. Welcome.
Good afternoon, City Council. I'm Michael Conley, and I was Tuesday night. I was at my Concordia Neighborhood Association meeting, and we had a voice vote about whether I could bring this up. We're opposed to the demolition. Due to the viability of the existing structures as they are, and there is we do believe that they are viable and needed. I found that the amenities proposed are very nice, but nobody has really brought up cost except one gentleman. And he really downplayed the numbers as a few million, and this is another huge liability to the citizens and ratepayers. I was really behind the big pipe. That was great infrastructure to keep pollution out of our river, but this is another thing that is just, I believe, unnecessary and also very hastily proposed. Maybe people in this neighborhood have heard about it. The process, but I didn't get any anything in my bill statement or any communication from the Water Bureau about this. I found out about it on the internet, and I came down here to do this. I believe that demolition is not the way to go. And also, this project cannot be separated really from the LTE ruling and the city's lack of any response to that. Any meaningful opposition to that unfunded mandate from the EPA. So maybe it's a little bit out of the scope of this hearing, but I believe that we can't really ignore that. So, you know, as far as you want to talk about your fence for your wading pool and all that, it's as if it's fait accompli. I don't believe that. I think we need to put the brakes on this project and keep our reservoirs viable. And a couple of the other gentlemen on my side have pointed out that the seismic concerns and the landslide concerns have been overstated by the Water Bureau. And you know, I love our Portland water, but I find that the Water Bureau has consistently thrown these things out for us. And, you know, my bill has quadrupled in the last couple of decades. And I think we have to speak to that also. That's a huge expense for our city. And I don't know who's going to get the money, but I know that who's going to pay for it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mayor, if I could address something, Mr. Wallace.
Yes.
You said about traffic. So that's a little bit downstream, but if anyone, you or anyone who is here, who wants to get up-to-date information about public process on traffic, ways of being heard before the Bureau seeks a permit, or want to weigh in, because there's been extensive conversations about how that might play out, if you would just check with my office before you go, we'll make sure you get up-to-date information on that in a timely manner so that you can be heard.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Thanks very much. Okay.
Next three are Rosemary Opp, Dan, I believe the last name is Bergen, and John, I think the last name is Dwork.
Ms. Opp, go ahead. Good afternoon.
Hello. My name is Rosemary Opp. I reside at 1339 Southeast 130th.
It's hard to hear you up here.
Yeah, so try to pull that microphone a little closer if you could. The whole box will slide your way if you pull on it. There you go. That will work. Thank you.
When is my time starting?
After that.
Okay. Thank you. This is years to get it in 3 minutes, but under approval criteria, we're talking protect resources. I think the big resource here is our water. I think the public needs to know that our elected officials have not been good stewards of the most valuable asset that we have in this city, which is our Bull Run water system. And I'm pretty much here today because it relates to our water being degraded. These open reservoirs need to be fully functioning as a vital component of those of that system.
So, Rosemary, we need to talk about the demolition criteria. We understand there's
because when those reservoirs are demolished, the function of those open reservoirs, which have provided healthy drinking water, will be changed and gone.
What got my attention
at the Historical Landmarks Commission is that the Water Bureau said there's no change. There's change, all right. We would be allowed, they said, to still keep that Bull Run water in the water ponds, but heavens forbid, cannot even accidentally let that good water come to our homes. No, that's going to have to be drained into sewers. I'm sorry, but the elephant in the room here is our water, which is dependent, the healthy water of our community, on the open reservoirs staying as fully functioning. Do you not understand that? When we use the water from the well fields, which has radon, the open reservoirs allow that radon to dissipate in the air. Now then we'll have radioactive water coming into our homes, apparently. Let's talk about Goal 9. The general public's supposed to know about this. And the Federal Safe Drinking Water Act indicates citizens need to know about changing their water. I'm from East Portland. This isn't just a Tabor and Arlington issue. Stakeholders, all people who drink this Bull Run water, need to be informed. And this, the worst of it is that our council hasn't been a good steward of this public health in my book because they don't even want to have a discussion on this. They've thrown in the towel on this, which is really unacceptable. The public needs to know that New York, it's very clear that you're not working for us because New York has worked for their community. Senator Schumer went to EPA, communicated this was too great a financial burden for them. They got a reprieve till 2028. Senator Merkley, when I asked him, said he couldn't help because this council hasn't asked him. This is something that we need to understand, and also with the microbrewery industry, this won't be able to be covered up forever. It's going to come out. It's going to harm citizens. You talk about children. This is quite hypocritical when you aren't concerned about the health of our community.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hello. My name is Daniel Berger. I'm a physician specializing in emergency medicine, actively serving the greater Portland community. Thank you so much for listening to public testimony on this important matter. I think there is definitely a significant lack of trust from the public in all these proceedings. As with Mount Tabor Park, the public feels their involvement to discuss the needs or alternatives for these projects has been avoided, allowing us only to engage on the what goes on top conversations. It is not empowering to discuss fences and stuff like that when there's much larger issues at play. Portland Water Bureau administrators have publicly stated, quoted, "Designing and building is glamorous. Maintenance is boring." Well, that may be well and true, but it's the responsibility that comes with being true stewards of our public resources. In the process, Portland Water Bureau is selling out the soul of our city with overblown projects that are not needed, putting us further into deep, deep debt, spending money we desperately need elsewhere and don't have in the first place, as well as jeopardizing the health of our citizens and our children for generations to come. It is worth pointing out once again that the rush deadline to complete these projects is fabricated by the city. In a letter to the MTNA Land Use Chair Stephanie Stewart by Eric Gwinnicki, Drinking Water Enforcement Coordinator of the EPA, he reiterated that there is no federal deadline to disconnect the reservoirs. The only federal deadline was to submit a plan by April 1st, 2009, and that was compiled a long time ago, albeit without public input. The city can submit a new timeline to the OHA containing a more reasonable and community-approved mitigation plan. Also, like Mount Tabor Park, there are significant land ownership issues that are being brushed aside in the haste to get these corporate contracts underway. Both Mount Tabor and Washington Park consist of numerous different lots owned by either Portland Water Bureau, i.e. ratepayers, or Portland Parks and Recreation, i.e. taxpayers. Both projects, more so at Mount Tabor, but definitely true at Washington Park, have Portland Water Bureau doing work and building infrastructure on land owned by Portland Parks and Recreations. This will prohibit any future use of these by the parks, yet no transfer of deeds, consolidations, easements, or anything has been obtained or recorded. If Portland Water Bureau ratepayers intend to build project on land owned by city taxpayers, it needs to compensate the public. This has been repeatedly brought to the attention of all parties by Portland Water Bureau's engineering surveyors and the city's own legal counsel, but these facts seem to be ignored. To proceed with either project would seemingly be illegal. In other words, it would be like digging a well on your neighbor's property. This basis alone, the application should be denied until these land use and deed issues are resolved. I implore you to please uphold the pledge towards good governance and representing the will of the people and not our corporate contractors. I beg you to fight tooth and nail to delay these projects. They are not needed.
Thank you.
Hey, folks. Hey.
Mr. Walsh, remember the rules? Thanks.
Yeah, I read the rules.
The rules are we live.
I think I've ordered.
Thumbs up is fine. Clapping's not.
Okay, please. I just wanted to note that 2 years ago, when I was briefly water commissioner, asked the Oregon Health Authority if they would extend the schedule, give us an extension, as Rochester, New York had gotten one from the state of New York, and they said no.
I have to ask you both to
stand down because this is an interesting topic, but we got to stick to the criteria. You've given us an issue or two here that we have to ask about.
When can we discuss these important critical matters?
I'm sorry?
When can we discuss these important critical public issue matters?
I don't know, but this is a historic landmarks and demolition case, so we got to stick to the criteria. You've raised some issues here like land ownership and deeds and easements that I want to ask questions about, so I appreciate your testimony on those issues because those are germane. We got to be very careful how we do this because
absolutely.
We're required to be.
Matt, so, please just answer one thing to
offline elsewhere, please.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time in this matter.
All right, very good. Thank you both. Okay. Next three, please.
Was there a John on Ash Street before I move on? Pardon?
Thank you.
Then we'll go with Floyd Jones, Charles Johnson, and John Zarnecki.
Okay, come on up.
Good
Go ahead, Ms. Jones.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm representing Friends of the Reservoirs. That is the organization that placed these reservoirs at Washington Park on the National Register of Historic Places, the reason why we're here having this hearing, just as we did with the Mount Tabor reservoirs. I submitted 9 pages today speaking directly to the criteria. As has been stated by many people, the Water Bureau hasn't met the criteria for demolition. It's only in an Orwellian world of doublespeak, and the Water Bureau suggests that they have considered the value of the open reservoirs. Why is it that in presenting to the Historic Landmark Commission, or BDS, they failed to provide them with the 70-page report, the Historic Structures, Washington Park Historic Structures Report, Reservoirs 3 and 4, that was prepared in 2010? Why was that?
You're saying that's not in the record? I'm sorry?
Well, I submitted it to the record, at the last minute. And we've been stakeholders. We've been acknowledged by every commissioner, Mayor Potter, Eric Stan, Dan Salzman, for years. We've not been contacted about this process, so it has not been a good public process. It's been only about what goes on top, what happens after you demolish. But if you read the first page of this report, the reason why, to answer my own question, why is it they didn't present this to the Historic Landmark Commission? Because they want to present the reservoirs as dilapidated. But, you know, what it says is that they were carefully designed and built for durability and low maintenance. Those considerations have allowed the structures to age gracefully. Electronic measuring or pipe controls supplement historic resources instead of replacing them. Concrete finishes on the 2 gatehouses and structural damage at the pump house have been previously repaired. It goes on and on. But the bottom line in all of this, it says that they are generally in good condition. And as others have stated, you can go through goal by goal, and there's misrepresentations. And, you know, I don't necessarily blame BDS, although who do you have as the applicant for the Water Bureau? A BDS employee who is brought over to the Water Bureau to work on non-mission projects. So that was set up so that you could have BDS working on both sides to expedite this process so that we're not addressing alternatives. The public has never been able to meaningfully address the many alternatives. The risks from seismic are indeed overstated, and FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Board that addressed the small hydro plant that was at Mount Tabor, they sent a letter to the Water Bureau that was an example of how the Water Bureau overstates risks. Those are much larger tanks, as you know. You know, 50 million gallons on Reservoir 6, 35 each section. The reservoirs up at Washington Park are very small, and I've submitted many documents to Amanda over the years that show, through our extensive research, dam reports, that if there were an extensive seismic event in Portland, the anticipation was only minor leaking. Well, those are huge reservoirs, so if there were a catastrophic event up at Washington Park, the damage would be limited given the significant construction techniques that were used in building these reservoirs. So in the 9-page document, I went through goal by goal and where information was lacking, from the Water Bureau to BDS. And they're absolutely wrong in terms of, just simple things, even on the little things like access. I mean, I submitted the resolutions to you. Some of you might have been here. Dan, you were here in 2006, where a resolution was brought to council. We're updating the reservoirs. They opened the access to the reservoirs. I was there for the grand celebration. I sent you the press releases. So in addition to the document, I've sent, you know, probably 10 emails over the last few days with documents that support the...
I think those are in the record.
Too. Okay.
Yeah. No, thank you. And I appreciate your written testimony as well. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Johnson?
Good morning. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson, and I would just say that I live in the commons, but I think we've totally destroyed and obliterated any commons. Since we're kind of constrained to the issue of land use and this permitting and demolition, I find it ironic that there's been obstruction every time anybody's tried to mention traffic concerns. The that's part of demolishing something. Equipment to demolish has to come in, and then...
That's right, but state law doesn't allow us to consider that because we, under Oregon land use law, don't do individual environmental review on projects. So it's the way we do things in Oregon. It's not our idea here at this dais.
Okay. And when we cut short Commissioner Novick's comments about the Oregon Health Authority, you know, this is a litigious city. We'll sue to not have to tell a federal judge what we're doing on racial justice. So why don't we just tell the Oregon Health Authority to sue us and mobilize the National Guard to come in and make us do what they think we should do with our reservoirs? It's just ridiculous. The water reservoir system is functional. It's historic. It shouldn't be tampered with in any way, whether or not we put 1 foot or 4 foot tall fences around a reflecting pool. That it's just the absurdity. You should be embarrassed, more embarrassed than you were yesterday when the giant cardboard heads were here.
I wasn't embarrassed. But keep going.
So thank you, Mayor. So I just really encourage you to do whatever it takes to send this, to just give up the project. Don't make it go to the court about land use. Don't give us more employment for people in the city attorney's office. Just stop. The water system is fine the way it is. No boogeyman is going to come from Washington or Salem and make us change the water system. If you wanted to be great city commissioners, what you should be looking at is improving the capacity of having more storage of more Bull Run water in more places around the city instead of just messing with the perfectly fine system we have. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Czarnecki, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm John Czarnecki. I'm an architect and past chair of the Landmarks Commission.
And Floyd, if you would do him a favor and slide that whole box a little bit.
Oh, certainly.
That way.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
I've been thinking about this, obviously, for a long time, but I came here today with a change in mind. Initially, I fully supported this project. Now I'm modifying my position a little bit, as I think you'll hear. I submit that approving issuance of this permit for demolition runs counter to the intent of approval criterion 2.4, which requires evaluation in light of the Washington Park Historic District. The district nomination states that the most defining principles of reservoirs 3 and 4 is the open expanse of water 40 feet deep. Because of the great depth and towering firs that surround them, the water is a rich, deep blue. Now, you'll see that I'm really talking about Reservoir 4. Public purpose will be well served by maintaining integrity of the Washington Park Historic Reservoirs District, yet that integrity is threatened. Sensitive restoration and preservation of key elements is proposed, yet the central issue of demolishing Reservoir 4 remains. This demolition does not set legal precedent. It does set precedence for the perception of value we bring to our publicly owned historic resources. Improvement of public infrastructure is critical. Sometimes that improvement is surprising and may not be evident. In order to maintain and enhance the character of both reservoirs and the district as a whole, I suggest that the council ask the applicant to return with a scheme for Reservoir 4 that enables it to hold water at historic levels. Whether they're buildings, parks, or other public amenities, we should treat historic resources as we would any other resource, directly and as valuable precedent for successful future development. We should understand their extent and qualities, conserve them, and use them wisely to enhance our environment. I ask you to deny the application for demolition of Reservoir 4. Please ensure that this precious resource is worthy of conservation for continued use to enhance the visual and atmospheric character historically intended for this portion of the park. The reflection is not just the wall and the pump house, but the sky and the depth of water is more than the reminder of the past, but a continuity of critical public experience. Thanks for your stewardship and for forward thinking on behalf of us all. I have a very brief quote from Frederick Law Olmsted. It is not simply to give the people of the city an opportunity for getting fresh air and exercise. It is not simply to make a place of amusement or for the gratification of curiosity or for gaining knowledge. The main object and justification of the park is to produce a certain influence in the minds of people, and through this, to make the life of the city healthier and happier. I don't know if y'all got this handout, but there's a three images here of yes. reservoir pour, and then on the back is a quote from the National Register nomination.
Yeah, we did get that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Thanks very much. Thank you all.
The last person who signed up was Mary Ann Schwab.
Okay, Ms. Schwab, come on up. I saw her. Oh, there she is. Mm-hmm. Got a rebuttal. Yeah. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mayor and City Commissioners. For the record, my name is Mary Ann Schwab. I serve on the Southeast Uplift Board of Directors, working on the Comp Plan 2035, street fees, housing double engine regulations, and preserving beautiful sequoia trees, 36 inches in diameter, for a few of the examples. Today I speak to you as a private individual. However, as Southeast Uplift has not taken a stand on this particular issue, today I'm here to specifically to address the lack of adequate outreach to the impacted neighborhoods and to ask you to table this process until a real outreach has been done. Please table this for another 7 days so the public watching this on TV have a chance to write their concerns, pro and con. I want you to know on Saturday, March 28th, my friend and I rang doorbells, talked with homeowners, and hung door hangers on neighbors' front doors. The homeowners we spoke with were surprised to learn 30,000 trucks would be rambling in front of their homes over a four-year period. In addition to the construction challenges, public safety impacts, limited access to site for deliveries and materials removal, worker parking on narrow streets, noise issues, 1,000 pile drivers, truck traffic.
I think you're talking about construction now, not demolition.
I'm talking about public safety right. as related to the demolition. You can't demolish something without that connectedness, and I'll challenge that law in court down in Salem if I have to.
Okay.
Why were the neighboring homeowners so poorly informed? The BDS public information signs were placed along a busy Burnside Street hidden by berry vines, one at the entrance of the tennis court. Surely there would have been better places to place them. More neighbors would have been read them and had they been placed near the Max TriMet bus stop or the path to the park's water fountain. But really, no one driving East Burnside stops to read a legal posting. These signs came up pretty short of that city that works with red flashing lights. So what might go wrong next? Cement trucks squeezing down heavily parked residential streets where students ride and bicycles come skateboarding around corners? The door hanger I've attached it there. This is what we passed out on people's doors. We cut and paste what was given to us during the, what did they call that crazy meeting? The sounding board.
Okay.
The sounding board meeting. We were there in October. I called to get copies of my minutes and my testimony so I could attach it here. It's not posted online. There's been a hiccup on that one, too. So I'm going to leave you with one thing. Please, please, please keep this open for 7 more days due to the lack of adequate public outreach. I'm requesting that this be tabled. And I want to leave you with a quiet prayer from Native American Indians, Mitchell, Warshaw religious leader. We have a duty to the land in which we live. We all come from the earth. On death, we return back to the ground. In the cycle of life, everything is born, always is connected with water. Water is the giver of life. We have the best there is on the planet. People out there, check out bullrunraver.org. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marianne.
Okay. Does that cover everyone who signed up to speak?
That's all who signed up.
Anyone else? Okay. Come on up, Mr. Entwistle.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm just wondering, my name is Stephen Entwistle. I'm a member of Individuals for Justice, and I am a whistleblower for less fortunate folks. the demolition of these reservoirs is not a good idea. And we demand that you don't do this. And for many reasons, as we have just heard tonight, we need to stop this, okay? We need to look at this as a big picture, because it's not going to work. The future is going to look at this, if this goes through, and they're going to say, what a huge mistake those folks did in the past with our entire water system. Do we have, am I a stakeholder in any of this as a private citizen? And if I am, what power do I have when we have quite the majority of folks here that says no to this? It makes me question this whole process in its entirety. There's a lot of good people here that just want to keep their water the way it is. We don't want to foul our water. This is going to foul the water. Forget about the whitewash of all the pretty things you're going to put up there and wheelchair access. I like wheelchair access. I like that. We should have more of that in the forest and everything else with this new design. Okay. But don't foul the water. Don't take this water out. You want to do some improvements up in the park, that's great. We can maintain what we already have. We don't need to destroy anything. Okay, we really don't. And people have testified about that also. So, 30 seconds. As a stakeholder in this decision to consider the destruction, the demolition of something so vitally necessary and pure as it is. The water is pure now. It won't be when this construction is finished. Thank you.
Thank you. Afternoon.
Good afternoon. Herschel Soles. I live in Northeast Portland. You know, we have global warming is a problem, and to do construction projects that are unnecessary is contributing to the problem. I just want you to know that. I wanted to read something about a comment by a friend, Steve Novick, here. Friends of the Reservoir Public Records request of OHS documents and communications related to Commissioner Novick's 2013 reservoir deferral request reveal that.
I'm sorry. Could you state what that's about again?
Yeah, we were talking about a request for a deferral for this project.
No. I'm sorry. You've got to stick to the criteria. You've got to stick to the criteria for a demolition.
Okay. The criteria for demolition?
Yeah. And other people have done a good job. It's important that we keep that record solid, because no matter which side you are on the issue, we've got to do it the right way.
Well, I'm disappointed a little bit, because the little kids supposedly were here to see democracy in action, and we're not getting to see democracy in action. We're getting to see how the aristocracy gets its way every time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right. Let's get the applicant back up for rebuttal, and I also have some questions for the applicant based on testimony. So,
hello, Mayor Hales, members of the council. I'm Greg Winterode with Winterberg Planning. We helped put the application together. Nice to see you. I have a couple of comments. First is that we agree with the request to keep
the record
open
for
7 days.
Yeah, you're a little quiet there. Get Carla to turn it up. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
We agree with the request to keep the record open for 7 days. There's a lot of new material. We'd like to look at it, make sure we have time to respond in a thoughtful way. The second thing is to clarify the approval criteria. We do need to balance the goals and policies of the comprehensive plan and show that the demolition is supportive. But Section 33846080 also talks about ways to do that. And the ways you do that is ask what will replace the demolished reservoir. So that is critical to the criterion, and there isn't a separate set of criterion for demolition that does not involve what will be replacing the demolition with. That's why we've spent so much time in looking at the replacement development.
And I'm Tom Carter with the Water Bureau, and one of the issues raised in testimony was asking about the purpose of demolition review, 33-445-330. And what the citizen asserted was that the public's not had an opportunity to consider alternatives to demolition. And so we ask that you consult with your attorneys about the meaning of that particular provision in the zoning code, because we have regarded that as that the venue is the demolition review, and that the current proposal comes out of previous work done by the Water Bureau and previous decisions made by City Council. And so this is the time at which people are have to consider and propose alternatives that meet the requirements. But I think that that is a question that the City Attorney's Office may need to consider about how that provision is interpreted.
Okay.
Get or that. Advise you. Excuse we'll me. Should that. Advise you on your
we'll mind. Get that I advice. Recommend you ask. Okay. Other points again before we get to questions?
I'm actually here to help you answer questions. I have another couple people to give
okay.
a little bit of rebuttal.
Well, all right. Let's do that, and then we'll get you back for questions.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Peter Meijer from PMA Architects. We are the historic consultants on the team, and I'd like to specifically address the comments on the historic structures report and whether or not that was considered in this process. That's a very important document, and it served as a baseline for the continued work. Our office actually referenced that document in moving forward, and we augmented it with additional primary information in which we went on site as well as researched the changes over time that had occurred on particularly on the basins. We augment it with current structural conditions of the concrete to see if repair was an option. And we also augment it with additional laboratory analysis so that we knew of the composition so that when we did repair the structures. We concur with many of the points of the historic structures report, particularly that they are in good condition. And that's why they are being preserved, particularly the gatehouses and the dams. And so we are working with that historic structures report. And so I just wanted to clarify that we considered it. It's an important baseline, and we are using it moving forward.
Okay, so that was one of my questions. So the portions of the report that referred to the elements of the site being generally in good condition were referring to mostly the gatehouses and other buildings and dams that are being preserved, but not to the reservoir structure itself that's proposed for demolition?
Correct. That is where the focus was, because obviously when the report was done, the reservoirs had water in them, and the basin, the bottom of the basins couldn't be seen, as well as if you what we needed to augment is the number of changes that had been made to the basin parapet walls in this process over time, or that began, and the number of times that the repairs have been made to those portions of the reservoirs.
Okay, thank you. That was one of
Mayor,
my.
I had a, let me follow up on that.
Please.
We had a comment from someone who testified about the fence around Reservoir 3. Could you address that?
I can't remember the specific comment, but we.
It was needed. And
I think that's a broader comment, and the best way to address it, that has always been a question from day one, whether or not the fence was needed. We had a tour of the facility even before we did the briefing for the Landmarks Commission. Members of the public were on that tour, and that fundamental question was asked, is the fence needed if it's no longer public drinking water? And so we have worked through that issue, and the Bureau of Water sees it as a protection of the public, so more of a not drinking water security, but protection. And so we have reused the components of the historic fence. But it has been a fundamental question of whether or not it's been needed or not needed. We see the retaining of the historic fence as important to the character defining features moving forward.
Well, I'm glad you said that. So there, it sounds like there's two issues. One is, does it provide a safety function? And reasonable people can probably agree or disagree with that. What you just said is actually more important to me, that you believe it relates to the historic fabric of the reservoir.
Yes. And it has been a criteria that the State Historic Preservation Office has wanted to see retained as well for that very reason.
Okay, thank you.
So that'll be built of reused materials if it's built?
Yes. You know, it's 8 feet high now. You saw the images. Those components will be used again and lowered, so it won't have necessary. Go ahead.
Testimony by Eric Nagel about a new fence. Are we talking about the same thing?
I think we're talking about the same fence.
We are talking about the same thing.
Okay.
My name is Dan Hogan. I'm a project manager with the Portland Water Bureau on this project, and I'm also a registered professional engineer and geotechnical engineer. And I wanted to just discuss a little bit about the landslide and the seismic vulnerability of the existing basins. The claim that the slide is stabilized isn't quite true. It still creeps along at a little bit more than an eighth of an inch a year. And over 20 years, that's 3 inches, 50 years, 7 inches. That's the basin can't handle that. And that's one of the reasons we had rebuilt it over the years.
So that movement of that slide is distorting the basin? Is that what's going
yes,
on?
Yes, and the parapet walls. And if you go out there today, you can see the fences are all leaning over. And
okay.
So the slide is a concern, and any professional engineer would agree with me on that.
But yet the buildings have been described as generally in good condition, and are they less affected by the slide?
They are not in the slide area.
Okay.
The slide reaches down into the western part of the reservoirs. All the buildings are on the eastern
both
side.
Both reservoirs?
Yep.
Okay.
Correct. In a seismic event, we've analyzed how much the slide's going to move, and our model was based on what we're proposing to build. And we're looking at up from anywhere from a foot to 2 feet of movement, and we'd expect something similar, if not more, in the existing state. That would mean those reservoirs' walls would have moved 1 to 2 feet, and that's not going to hold water. And that's not even speaking to the structural integrity of it. They're not designed to today's seismic codes or any seismic code whatsoever. The original design, I believe, had rebar every 10 feet as opposed to every 16 inches, which is more normal.
I have some other questions. Actually, one I think is for you, Mr. Meijer, which is John Sarnecki made the case that criterion 2.4, in his understanding of it, really has to do with the depth of the water, and therefore the color of the reservoir as seen by the public, and that he considers that significant. Was that question considered, or whether a shallow reflecting pool would be the same experience for someone visiting the park and enjoying this spot if it's shallower versus deeper water? It seems to me a legitimate question.
It is a legitimate question. I think if you step back and look at the context of a historic district, there are several character-defining features that are important to the district and make them up, and the nomination listed those, not only the structures, but what the atmosphere, as Mr. Zarnicki related. And deep water was one of them. The fact that there is water is critical to that. We had studied the opportunities to do that and felt that wasn't an overriding one to retain. So we recognize the loss of deep water, but we have still maintained the district and the character of the district. Water will still be visible from those important spots, particularly the Olmsted view from within Washington Park. So we felt that the relationship of the actual gatehouses to the water was more important than the depth of the water.
Okay.
This issue has come up before in other contexts. Did you consider any other factors like the cost of maintaining a facility with deeper water, the potential health impacts of water that's not potable and may or may not be circulated on a regular basis, those kinds of things?
Commissioner Fish, I'll have to defer that question to Teresa or someone else who can study the answer the cost issue on that.
Could you repeat the question?
But we've been talking about some specific questions about the listing, but were there some other technical feasibility issues about the depth of the water that you took into consideration?
No, we did not look at that.
That's a good answer. Thank you.
I have some other questions, and that came up from testimony here, and that is there was an assertion a couple of times. Mr. Fernandez, among others, said, look, we've had significant rainfall events that did not cause any kind of catastrophic movement of the landslide. So have we overrated the potential of the landslide being a structural problem? Now, again, we just heard it's still moving and distorting the reservoir, but I assume some of the basis for this proposal, this proposed demolition, is the potential for catastrophic danger, not just incremental movement. But I want to make sure I understand that correctly.
The landslide.
What's your name in the record, Mike?
Oh, sorry. My name is Mike Stewart. I'm the chief engineer of the Water Bureau. I'm also a geotechnical engineer from Stanford University, and I'm licensed to practice in Oregon and California. I have a couple of comments on seismic things, but one thing I want to do right away is talk about the reservoir. If we left the reservoir as it was, 40 feet deep, whatever it is, we wouldn't have a place to put the reservoir underneath it. So if you maintain a reservoir that we can't use for whatever purpose, mm-hmm. there's no place to put that volume of water in a protected facility. And without moving the entire piping system to some other location, possibly condemning land at some other location, we had to take the volume that exists and use the majority of it for the tank that's going to be underneath it and put the water feature on top. So it's important to recognize. The landslide. There's about 4 million tons of dirt in that landslide. Most people have seen the Empire State Building. It's like 14 or 15 Empire State Buildings full of dirt. And it's moving. And if that landslide pushes hard on the concrete, it will win. So when we design the facility, we try and fix it so that landslide will not push on the new facility because it can crush the concrete. So that's why the occlusion's in there. Is it a huge concern? Well, to me, I don't like to talk about these matters like that. It's a concern. It's a concern like liquefiable soils, weak foundations, differing rock types. It's just something to consider in the design. And we have carefully considered that. We've put enough space in there that we can go through this maximum credible earthquake, which also includes a subduction zone earthquake, and have enough space left there that the reservoir will be functional, and we can do what we need to put the occlusion back. Regarding the seismic event itself, I spent the morning speaking at the American Society of Civil Engineers Structures Congress, talking about seismic resilience. And right now there are 18 bills in front of our legislature dedicated to trying to help the state become seismically resilient. Unfortunately, it's kind of a good news, bad news story, earthquakes in Oregon. The good news is we don't have them very often. The bad news is we don't have them very often. And the reason that's bad news is that most of us have a hard time getting our minds around things that we haven't experienced. It's much easier if you've gone through it. You don't have a tough sell in Los Angeles or the Bay Area. Here, we're lucky. Our earthquakes, large ones, are infrequent, but there's a 37% chance of a magnitude 6 or greater earthquake in the next 50 years in Portland. And it is worth thinking about, and it's worth designing to.
Thank you. A couple other questions that were raised in testimony. Mr. Berger raised the question of land ownership. Is it clear that we have the right applicant here, that the Water Bureau is the right applicant, right?
We discussed this in detail internally, and we've had it reviewed by Terry Thatcher. The ownership is in the hands of the City of Portland. The city owns the property. The City Council apportions responsibility for various pieces of property and can change that apportionment. But as long as that land is owned by the City of Portland, where it came from and what kind of parcels it is almost irrelevant. It matters among the bureaus to sort internal funding out, but as far as ownership is concerned, it belongs to the City of Portland and there are no issues with it.
Okay, thank you. Going back through my notes from testimony to see citizen involvement. Again, somebody said this is not democracy. Actually, they're right. This is quasi-judicial land use hearing. So sorry, folks, this is very stylized, but we have to make sure that the procedures have been followed and make a decision based on the evidence and code. One of the requirements is that public involvement be properly conducted. State law requires certain people be notified. Not, I believe, everyone who's affected by a potential decision, but I just want to double check that, and it might be a question for the city attorney, or it might be something that needs to be addressed if we hold the hearing open a little longer, and that is, given that people beyond the immediate vicinity, the usual perimeter of a land use case, are affected by this decision, or potentially affected by decision, was notice proper? I won't ask the city attorney to answer a legal question like that on the fly, but I want to put it at least up.
Well, Mayor, we do have the benefit of a 25-page summary in the record of a 2-year public outreach, and I've actually never seen something like this in our, because we maybe don't have a lot of these kinds of proceedings.
Right, and we had testimony that it was extensive, and
it has actually the it has it down to the areas where project information booths were held, where things were posted. Postings, posters on page 17 with dates, websites. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this meets or doesn't meet our standard, but it's pretty extensive.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we might want to get that question reviewed. I think that may cover the points that I had. And again, there have been requests to hold the record open, so council should discuss that in addition to any other questions somebody else might have. But other members of the council have questions for the applicant? Okay, then I'm going to close the public hearing, but we'll decide the question of whether we're going to keep the record open or not. What's the council's pleasure about that?
Does that mean we just have deliberations after the record closed?
I think our options, we have multiple options there.
Yeah, the council has discretion to either continue the hearing to a date certain or leave the record open, and we typically do sort of a 7-7-7 three-phase aspect of that. And again, the council does have discretion as to which of those to choose, but I believe there were a couple of requests that to me sounded more like leaving the record open. Typically, we'd leave it open for 7 days from today for any party to submit additional evidence, testimony, or argument. Following that, there'd be another 7-day period for any rebuttal evidence, testimony, or argument. And then following that, and at that point, the evidentiary record would close. And then there would be another 7-day period for the applicant, which has the burden of proof, to submit any written argument. And again, that's not necessarily evidence.
I guess I'm not used to us going that going through that convoluted process. We have in other cases held the record open and given people a chance to provide further information or even rebut. I've had a request to rebut statements that were made here late in the hearing. So I'd certainly be open to a 7-day extension in order to give people the chance to rebut anything they've heard or to reflect on anything they've heard and then give the council the opportunity to deliberate and decide. But I haven't been through that 7-7-7 sequence before.
Mayor, I would propose, and we've done this in other land use proceedings, add an abundance of caution, particularly when people have said during the